Courtney Stewart was tired of her stainless steel bento box that leaked. And she realized her friends were also frustrated, so she decided to do something about it. Courtney created The Good Kind with a mission not only to create a well-made, long-lasting product, but to do so with ethical labor practices, high-quality materials, while helping reduce world hunger through a global giving partner where they will donate meals to help children be more successful at school. I invited Courtney on the show to talk about the shift from consumer to manufacturer, what we should know when it comes to product regulations, and how we can make more informed choices for our families. I will say that I'm also a fan of The Good Kind lunchboxes. It quickly became the only one my son wanted to use, so it is up on my shop page. You can check it out and more of my favorite products at greenathome.ca/shop. And after having this conversation with Courtney and what she has in mind for the company and the impact that she wants to make in the world, I have fallen in love with this brand even more than I was before. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Welcome to the Missing Pillar of Health podcast, the show that tackles the often misunderstood and underestimated topics related to toxins and their impact on our health and well-being. I'm your host, environmental engineer, mom of two, and founder of Green at Home, Emma Roman. My mission is to help you reduce toxins in your life without fear, judgment, or shame, so you can be more informed and empowered to take action on issues that matter to your health. The research is clear that toxic chemicals found in the products we use, food we eat, water we drink, and air we breathe are contributing to the rise of chronic illness, allergies, infertility, autoimmune disease, and more. The good news is you can reduce your exposure without having to drastically change your lifestyle, and I'm here to show you how. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. I believe addressing toxins is a critical step towards creating healthier and happier families, communities, and ultimately a better planet. And that starts right here, right now. Let's dive into today's show. Welcome, Courtney, to the show.
Hello, Emma. Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to this conversation so much. Before we dive in, about products and ethical manufacturing and green products and all that, can you share a little bit about who you are and why you started The Good Kind?
Yes, of course. My name is Courtney Stewart, and I started The Good Kind. It was actually from a pivot from another business that I was doing. I won't get into that because I think that could be a whole separate podcast. But yeah, I started The Good Kind really with this intention of inspiring families to make better choices. We really wanted to really do good business, right? And we wanted to ethically manufacture products that were solving problems for families that were also safe. We wanted to ensure that we had an ethical manufacturing process along our supply chain. We just wanted to do things right, but do so in a way that we're solving a problem for the customer and do so in a way that doesn't create another problem. So one of the things that we see all the time is, you know, there's a new product and yeah, it's great. But on the flip side, you know, what did that do for the environment? So from a material standpoint, you know, always choosing easily recycled materials. And in our case, stainless steel is one of the most in demand materials recyclables. So I'm never a believer of solving a problem while creating another one. So it was really important to me really to just look deeply and this is a problem that exists. This is a pain point I had with another product on the market. So how can we solve that problem while doing really good things and also not create another problem on the flip side, you know, when that product at the end of its life.
And what was that problem that you were trying to solve with the stainless steel bento box, the first product that you started making, right? What was that big problem as a mom trying to make lunches?
Yeah, so I had used another brand's product, which was amazing for my daughter, Star JK. And it was great. The quality was great. But I felt very limited in the things that I could include in the lunch. And the reason why was because it was a bento style lunchbox, but it didn't have a leak proof component to it. So, and it wasn't airtight, which meant that things could move around inside. And sometimes I felt like my daughter would say, my crackers taste like strawberries, or, you know, things like that. And, or the, you couldn't put, my kids love frozen fruit. Couldn't put frozen fruit unless we did in like a separate compartment or a separate container outside of the lunchbox. So I thought that when I started talking to my friends, because we all kind of had that same lunchbox, I'd realized that this was a problem that not only was I experiencing, but so many of my mom friends were as well. And so while it was a great, you know, non-plastic bento box alternative, which really gave our children a beautiful display of food that was enticing and encouraging them to eat, from a functional standpoint, there was still a deeper issue with that product, because, you know, it was limiting that even if you want to include leftovers and things like that, you couldn't always do that. So I felt it was a great product, but we could make it better.
So you were already on the path of reducing plastics if you were using a non-plastic lunchbox. What was it as a mom that made you want to reduce plastics and toxins from your home?
Yes. So as you know, when you start having children, when you know better, you want to do better. And things that maybe you wouldn't have thought about for yourself become more important. They become more of a priority. And the plastic in our kitchen is a big deal. And the more we learn about what some of these plastic and the ingredients that go in the plastic and things like that, but also all these other environmental toxins, the more we learn about, you know, increased cancer rates and, you know, 90% of some of these cancers and diseases are because of what is in our environment, is in our homes. And so it was really important to me, you know, it's not just myself and my husband anymore, it's my children. And so we need to, as we're learning things, because it can be very overwhelming, as we're learning things, we need to take the steps to mitigate those within our home. And it started with plastic for us. And then for the last 7 years, it's just really been one thing after the next. And yeah, I've become super educated on the topic. But it's because of people like you who are informing people. So I think a lot of it too is just people just don't know. And it's one of the positive things about social media is that there are people on there who are actually educators, who are actually giving people good advice and good opinions. So
yeah, because you can't change what you don't know, right? It starts with really that small pieces of information. And in your case, it snowballed. So, and I love that you came at this from a consumer, average mom, kind of dealing with things in your normal life. And now all of a sudden you are in the world of manufacturing. Did you have manufacturing experience before this?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm really curious as to what that transition was like, going from mom buying products for your kids to now all of a sudden being in manufacturing. What kinds of things did you learn that maybe you had not thought of as a consumer? And how do you see things differently now?
So I should step back, because my first business, we had a silicone product. So we did manufacture that, but that was even after becoming a mom too. So the things that you learn, I mean, the logistics and the processes of it all, and working with engineers to get a CAD drawing done. And then, you know, what does it mean as far as importing the products and importing, and what are the regulations behind the types of products and how you're going to sell them and who you're going to sell them to and all these different things. There's so much. Listen, it can be as easy as going on a website and finding a product you want to sell and just ship it and whatever. But if you're trying to establish a business and a brand that has values, you have to take certain steps. And so sometimes it can be a little bit slower, but you have to, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's, because if you don't, you know, it can come back to hurt you, really, because there are regulations that are in place depending on the countries you want to sell in, you want to import in, especially when it comes to children's products. So there are safety regulations that have to be, you know, adhered to. And if they're not, then things could happen. The last thing you want to do after putting so much time and effort into building something and building a brand and investing the money that goes into it, goodness gracious, is have somebody come and to shut it down because you've not taken the proper steps and you've not gotten the proper certifications to sell, you know, a food contact product. So there's so much to learn that people don't realize. As a consumer, I certainly did not realize, but it's been like a second degree for me, really.
Right. And can we talk a little bit about those regulations? Because, you know, I talk about regulations a lot when it comes to household products and personal care products and cleaners and that kind of thing. But children's products are a whole other kettle of fish, and then food contact as well. And so I think it would be helpful for people to know what kind of regulations exist and maybe where you see some gaps and the things that you've done to take it a step further.
So within Canada, we have the, it's CCPSA, which is the Child Consumer or Canadian Consumer Product Safety Act. And so any product that's coming in that is being marketed to children has to go through this. And so there are a slew of requirements to ensure from a materials standpoint, the types of ingredients that are being used in the materials. Obviously, you know how that works, but there's a whole checklist of things that it has to adhere to. And not just anybody can say, yep, that, you know, it adheres to all these things. You actually have to have an agency that is accredited and approved to make, you know, make these claims, issue your certification. And so it was really important to me for the, you know, for Canada, of course, the US has a separate one, and that is the CPSIA. And similarly, it's similar, just US and Canada, they're made a little bit different. But again, it's a checklist of things that you have to abide by in order to be able to sell your products into these areas that just ensure that there's safety in the workmanship. And if kids are using them and they're not going to, you know, get their finger cut off with it, you know, there's so many different things, but it's important that you go through those things in addition to ensuring your manufacturer is using the, you know, the quality materials and all of those things that you want to stand by within their manufacturing practices. We've taken it a step further by also hiring third-party agencies that are approved to issue these certifications to ensure that we are issuing and putting out a product to the market that is 100% safe from a materials, food contact standpoint, to a use and functionality standpoint when it comes to children using them.
And so when you're bringing a product to market, the government agencies look at this checklist and say, okay, great, it can go on store shelves. What about products that are direct imports? Like if you're buying something just on, let's say I'll pick on Amazon because I pick on them a lot, and it's just a straight ship overseas from some maybe unknown company that just listed on Amazon. Do they need to undergo the same quality assurance, or is it different? Do you know?
So the government, so it's not like a store thing. So like Amazon will write, Amazon does not regulate it. Mm-hmm. So it's at the border, actually, if things aren't stamped and like, so when they're looking at the documentation for what is being imported, if you're not lined up and, you know, organized with that stuff, your stuff can get shipped back. And so unfortunately, there is a lot of things that does make its way through the cracks. And so I always tell people, look for certain stamps for the CCPSA for Canada, the CPSIA for United States. Is it FDA approved? Look for certain certification because there's a huge fine, huge penalties these manufacturers could potentially have coming at them should they label things that way. And people are usually wanting to put it on paper, right? But if the consumer is not looking for it, asking for it, then they don't have to share it, sort of thing. So I always tell people, look out for those things. So there are small businesses, small brands on players like Amazon and marketplaces like Amazon, and there are brands doing good things on those platforms. Just make sure you know that brand outside of Amazon. Yeah. If you've done your due diligence in terms of understanding their values, in terms of understanding how do they manage their supply chain? Do they use anybody to ensure that, like, even the people who are manufacturing, you know, are they being paid fair living wages, things like that? As I become a more intentional consumer, I have certain things that I process, I go through when I'm buying products from a new brand, that just because I'm learning all this stuff, that I'm coming to, you know more, even just as a consumer, that I don't want to bring anything. It's going to be hard to just kind of get rid of everything and then go through that in checklist in your home. But anything new, we make sure we go through this process. We want to make sure that we're bringing in quality products that are safe for our family. And so I think consumers, if once they become more educated and aware of the things to look out for, then it'll become much easier. Another thing too, which we plan to begin this process in the fall, is the B Corp certification.
Okay.
Yeah, B Corp certification. If you see that on companies' packaging in the store, it could be a child's product, any consumer product, you know that that company has been 360 vetted across not just materials and supply chain ethic, but there are a full host of environmental, you know, from their packaging, is it plastic? And you get a grade across all these things from a 360 lens. And so if you see somebody that has had a B Corp certification on their packaging or on their website, you can feel very confident that that company is doing really good things.
I have an episode on B Corp. Actually, I spoke to an agency that does B Corp certifications for companies. So I will link to that in the show notes because it digs into more detail on how that works for folks. And I think that's, you know, there's lots of different things you can see on the package. You can see, you know, most toys will have the basic legal certifications for the children's products, and it looks at really specific things. And I talk about that specifically with respect to toys and some of the toxins that are included within that. But often toxins, ethical manufacturing, end of use, those things aren't very well addressed in the regulated standards. And so I find a lot when I ask questions of manufacturers, you know, like you, I try to dig in a little bit more before I'm buying something new for my home. And I send stuff to you when I first came across your product as well. So you've been on the receiving end of my questions. And so much of the default answer, and this is not what I got from you, which was great, is just we meet all standards. Right. And so I think it's really important to know that, yes, it is essential that products meet those as a bare minimum. I mean, they have to, but it's a safety issue. But also, just like what I talk about with personal care products, it is a kind of post-market regulatory system, right? That's why we see recalls on the Government Canada website because of toys where, you know, pieces can come loose and become a choking hazard, for example. Those are more of the types of things that these certifications are looking at. And so when it comes to the materials that you're using, the stainless steel, the silicone, where it's made, what are the kinds of things that you have looked at and what kind of variations could there be in products? You know, stainless steel is one material that is often recommended. Are there variations of it? Are there things that you had to look at specifically and to make sure that it was safer for food than another version? I'm curious from that materiality standpoint.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like for me, it's so second nature that I forget to talk about these things, but you're right. You know, you can buy stainless steel bowls at the dollar store or at a store that sells them for much less, right? And so, but you can see a set on somebody's website for, you know, 5, 6, 7 times the cost. There's a difference between the quality of that stainless steel. I doubt any product you turn around and look at. First of all, they don't have labels on them if they're at the dollar store, but they're not going to say FDA approved for food contact. So we make sure our products are, we use 304 stainless steel. We're very transparent about that on our website. And that is a grade of stainless steel that is approved. And it's one of the highest grades of stainless steel that you can use for food contact.
What does that mean just for folks who haven't heard of the stainless steel grading?
So they just, starting at the lowest to the highest, there's different intended uses for the stainless steel. So they don't need a 304 stainless steel to make a steel hubcap or, you know, something like that, or steel rims or, you know, another steel product. There are certain elements and say the variation of stainless steel that they would use for a non-food contact product that maybe they don't take out, you know, maybe it's not free of lead, you know, maybe their chemical threshold is much lower, right? They allow things that are more accepted in some of those products. So that's why a manufacturer, you know, they might say, I'm looking at a chandelier here. I doubt that is made with a high quality. I'm sure it's made with a high quality from a durability standpoint, stainless steel. But when you talk about removing the toxins that are in it, that certainly wasn't the priority of that manufacturer. I can promise you that. So because as you do go along that scale, you know, and you get to a 304 or even an 18A grade stainless steel, you're talking a higher price point because there's more work involved in flushing out, ensuring that those toxins are not detected. Or at some level, if there is, it is very far under the standards that have been set by these regulatory bodies. And so it's really important to understand that, but that's a lot of information for a consumer to try to, you know, digest and then go and pick up everything. And so there are certain things I think customers have been used to asking about. And I think you had an episode, Emma, recently where you kind of talked about this a little bit. And we get this question a lot because we didn't use the term like BPA free, because you and I know that even when you take out BPA from a product, oftentimes that product was serving some kind of purpose. So it can be replaced with another product, another ingredient that could be just as harmful as BPA is. It's important to know qualities when it comes to something that's going to touch your food, you're going to put in your body, or something that your kids are going to touch it and put it in their mouths. There's certain things that it should be really important for people to be more aware of, to look for certain grades of materials. And in the case of food, always 304 stainless steel. We're looking at stainless steel or like an 18A stainless steel, because anything outside of that from an environmental standpoint, yeah, it's great you're using stainless steel because that's going to be easily recycled. But if you're trying to eliminate toxins, in some cases, you might as well just use a plastic, right? So yeah, it's really hard from a consumer standpoint to look for, but I think as long as you can see that there are certain certifications like the FDA approves a food grade, food contact, things like that, that can give the customer some reassurance that they're using safe products.
And I want to address where your products are made, and because I know a lot of people look for made in Canada, made in the US, made in North America. Yours are not. Can you talk a little bit about that and the process maybe of finding a manufacturer overseas that still fit your fairly high standards for quality?
Yes, we do. And you get that often. And there's this myth that products coming from China or overseas anywhere are of lower quality. And certainly that can be the case in certain situations, just like products made in Canada can be not great either. And so I really think instead of looking at where something is made, I think people should look at how it's made, what certifications they have. So I can tell you there's a lot of Canadian brands, even, you know, that they're not doing these additional testing and, you know, they're not vetting things in the way that we are, for example. But it's really important to know that even when we started actually manufacturing products in China, we first did try to source a manufacturer within North America. But what's wonderful about China, to be honest with you, is they've been doing this a long time. They're masters in manufacturing. And when it comes to certain types of products as well, silicone and stainless steel, that's the place to do it. But it's from a small business standpoint, China makes it very accessible. And so when we were looking at, it would be wonderful. I would love to manufacture in the United States or Canada. Absolutely. But from an accessibility standpoint, even just to create our mold, you know, we were looking at over $100,000 to create that initial mold and going through that prototyping process. So if we can find a high quality, reputable manufacturer that we've done our due diligence on, in this case, our manufacturer was referred to us, which was even better from our previous silicone manufacturer. So that was even better. We were able to feel really confident and then still go in there with our own vetting process and, you know, our own third party agency to make sure things are being done to a standard that are as high as ours. It was really a no-brainer, to be honest with you. because unfortunately I wouldn't have been able to start the business, because obviously $150,000+ for a mold, and that just is the mold. That's not even starting to purchase your inventory. So I think people, maybe if they look at it a little bit different in terms of it's a country that they've fine-tuned their processing so much that they are able to offer things at a more affordable rate. And it's not because there's slave labor happening all over the place. Our third party agency also goes in and looks at all the books to ensure and speaks to the employees, and there's a whole slew of checklists, just like the product quality and the materials and the ingredients. They do that on ethical business practices side as well. That's just as important. And I think if you can find that from a business perspective, you can find that at a reduced cost and still be able to offer an amazing product to your customer, I think that's okay. But again, that's a long-winded answer to tell a consumer, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody really wants to support local as much as possible. And for us, all of our employees are local, like our in-house employees and our small team are local within US and Canada. So our team is, our brand is, and if one day it makes sense to bring manufacturing over within to North America, we'll do so. But just from a business standpoint right now, it just didn't make sense.
And I think people forget too, that just because something may be made locally in terms of the finished product, there's really no escaping that we are a global market now. And we rely on global resources, food, talent, all of that is just how the world has evolved. And so there might be things that even products that are made locally are often sourcing ingredients from around the world. So it's not like you're keeping everything within this beautiful, idealistic 100-mile radius of fully local. We're just not there. And our economy in North America in particular changed so much and moved so much away from manufacturing. We see lots of industries that we used to do things very well here, you know, like automotive industry and different manufacturing. Yes, we still have some, but more and more of that is going overseas because, again, those markets have evolved there. And that's what the focus has been in terms of training and investments and North America. We're just going in a different direction. And I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer in how to do it. That's just kind of how things have evolved. So yes, I do think that it's great to be supporting local businesses and to be buying things that are made locally wherever possible, but also recognizing that our willingness to pay for things often doesn't match our desire to have things made locally because of those economics. There's often a disparity there. And I think it's important to recognize. Do you test your products separately, like for your own kind of quality assurance, separate from what maybe the regulations require? Or what does that look like? Or is it all kind of lumped in?
So our third party agency, they do all the testing, but from a functionality standpoint and functionality and kid use standpoint, we had probably over 100 samples sent out to moms using them for their kids to make sure, you know, fingers, they were easily to open and close and fingers could get stuck and things like that. From a functionality standpoint, we definitely do that. We don't have the equipment in-house to test like the material stuff, but our agency is an approved agency that can issue certification. So I'm very confident.
And are they testing for things like lead impurities or that kind of stuff? Like, what are they looking for?
Absolutely. So even to get that FDA certification for food contact, they would have to go through. There's lead, PVC, BPA. There is a whole list of them that have to be checked off and have to be, if detected at this, you know, minute amounts. Otherwise, they would not be able to issue that certification. And it's also very important, I guess, for even other people who are interested in going through this process to remember that you have to use an agency that has been approved to issue these certifications. Otherwise, it's null and void and you can spend a lot of money for nothing. So there's so much to it, Emma, that goodness, like I learned so much, but it's amazing But my consumer lens has also been put on too, right? So there's all these things that these companies have to go through. Now as a consumer, I'm looking for these things as well. So yeah, it's pretty amazing, but there are things that are happening that the government's doing their best to try to keep us safe when it comes to products that are being imported into the country. And that grading system of stainless steel that we talked about earlier, I think that's one that people can really dig into, because if you don't see it, I'm not going to name a store, but if you flip it and you don't see any indication where it tells you the grade of stainless steel, I would assume that it is a lower grade, because when you have a higher grade stainless steel, you're paying a premium to have that product manufactured. You want to shout that from the rooftop. You should be proud of that you're using those quality materials. So you want to share that with your customer. And so if you see that there things aren't, you know, indicated or labeled in that way, I would probably steer clear of that, especially when it comes to food contact.
Great tip. Thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us before we wrap up?
One thing I did mention actually about the B Corp certification, which is that 360 lens that looks at your business, products, quality, ingredients, certifications, things like that, is we're actually going to be going through that process in the fall. So I'm very excited for that. So you'll see that on our packaging as well very soon. But yeah, no, you know what? It's been a wonderful journey so far, and I'm really excited to share new products that are coming out with our customers. Oh, actually, I did miss something that is very important that I do want to share. When we had started The Good Kind, we did so with a mission to do good and to offer a product that solved a problem, but didn't create another one on the flip side from an environmental standpoint. So we're always using the best materials. We ensure we have an ethical supply chain, really just with the value systems of being good. And we're taking that a step further moving forward. I'm really excited to share with our community and your community that we've partnered with a global giving organization to help to remove the barriers that are preventing nearly 70 million children from attending school every day. And while there are a slew of these barriers that exist, unfortunately, I am excited to share that we will be donating 1 week of school meals to children who are facing hunger barriers preventing them from attending school. So we're really excited to be partnering with our giving partner, our global giving partner, to offer these school meals around 20 different countries around the world.
It's amazing.
And really with a goal to every child has this opportunity in life. Not always have the opportunity, I shouldn't say, but can potentially just make this world so much better. And we need to make sure that opportunity exists for all children near and far. And so I'm really excited to be partnering to ensure that at a foundation level, these children are getting an education that they need to help them break cycles of poverty within their families and communities and turn things around within different parts of the world and really just make the world a better place. I say that all the time. It's my signature in my friends' birthday cards, you know. Happy birthday. We can't wait to watch you make the world a better place, because if we have any hope, it's in our children.
I think you're providing a lot of hope yourself as well before passing it on to your kids. So thank you so much for doing business better, for offering great products and extending your mission to be helping other people. I just think that's incredible.
Yeah. It's important these days. You can do good by offering a product that serves its purpose, but also do good to help from a social justice standpoint and making some changes in the world. So I hope all businesses can look to do it this way.
If only. Thank you so much, Courtney, for sharing your insights and tips with us. Where can people go to learn more about Good Kind and check out the products you offer?
Yes. So our website is thegoodkindwith2eyes.com. You can also follow us on social media at The Good Kind, and again, 2 eyes. And yeah, follow us along. And, you know, if you have somebody who is starting their elementary school journey, we would love to support you in that and have a look at our products. And yeah.
I will drop those links in the show notes. The bento box is my son's favorite. He gets really mad when I don't wash it in time and he has to use one of our older ones. So I can attest that it's a great product. And yeah, so I will drop those links in the show notes for you to check them out. Thanks again, Courtney.
Thank you, Emma.
I do hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to continue the conversation, I'd love to connect with you over in my free Facebook group. It's a great place to get feedback from over 4,000 super supportive members and where I share bonus trainings and content to help make your healthy home journey easier. Just type Green Product Forum in the search bar in Facebook or head into the show notes where you'll find all the places you can find me online. Until next time, have a great day.